Thousands of letters are sent each year to God. And they end up in a sorting office in the city of Jerusalem. According to the Associated Press, the letters arrive from all over the world and they end up in this undeliverable mail department in Jerusalem. We have hundreds of thousands of letters sent either to God or to Jesus Christ, and for some reason they come here to Jerusalem, said the post office spokesman there. In one letter, several years ago now, I guess, an Israeli man asked God for 5,000 shekels to ease his poverty, and that would be the equivalent of about 1,000 U.S. dollars. Well, the postal workers who read this letter were so moved that they took up a collection among themselves and were able to get almost the entire amount, 4,300 shekels, just 700 shekels short of what this man's request was, and they sent it to him. About a month later, that same person wrote to God again. And he said this, "Thank you, God, for the contribution. But next time, please don't send it through those postmen. They're thieves. They took 700 shekels." Well, you know, here we are, Thanksgiving weekend. And I find myself at this time of year asking myself the question, am I a truly grateful person? Do I have a heart of gratitude all year long? Right? This time of year, we're more conscientious of it. We have a day set aside. We tend to talk about it more. But am I a person who is truly grateful to God and others all year long? Is my heart a heart of gratitude? Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." We need to develop a heart of gratitude. Sometimes, like this guy who wrote this letter, we can be somewhat thankful. We have a perspective, but we don't have a full perspective. And so our gratitude is only limited. But we need to develop a heart of gratitude. And there are different aspects to this heart of gratitude that I want to talk about today, because I know for me, I need to be reminded. And I figure if I need to be reminded, I'm going to remind the rest of you as well of some of the things that we need to be doing on a consistent basis in order to develop a heart of gratitude. And the first is a response of appreciation. Being people who respond to life circumstances with appreciation. This is probably the easiest of what we're going to talk about, but it starts here with a response of appreciation. Colossians 1, verse 12. And as we go through these different verses, my goal is to kind of give a little bit of background, to give some context, so we're not just pulling a verse out of context here and there. So that's my goal. So this is in the context of a prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossian believers. He starts in that prayer in verse 9. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it," heard of what? Well, earlier in the introductory statements, Paul's talking about their love and their faith and their hope that they have rooted in the gospel and how the gospel came to them and they embraced the gospel. And it has been transforming their life or their lives. And so he says, "For this reason, since we've heard of it," heard of what? Heard of the gospel being at work among you. He says, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So Paul is praying that they would be filled. Verse 10, "So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness meekness and patience. And so Paul is praying all these different things for them, that they would be filled, so that these would be the evidences of a filled life, that God would be truly at work and there would be transforming work in their lives. And then he says, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the light, of the saints in light. And so in the midst of this prayer, he is giving thanks. He is expressing gratitude. And it seems as we go through Paul's letters that this is a consistent theme through Paul. And I've given you another passage there. We're not going to look at that. But I just as an example, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, you could go to almost every one of Paul's letters recorded in the New Testament. And you see him expressing gratitude in one way or another to God for the people. He's consistently expressing gratitude. And the thing that we need to do is we ought to express gratitude consistently. This is a response of appreciation. It's a consistent expression of gratitude. First of all, to God, as Paul does here. Give thanks to the Father. For what? Because He's qualified us who are unqualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he goes on to say, He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so this is the work of God on our behalf. And Paul expresses his gratitude, and he wants to do that consistently. We need to express our gratitude to God for who He is and for what He's done. As we reflect on that, I think about Psalm 150. You know, in this 150 chapters in the Old Testament, the Psalms. This is the Old Testament hymn book. And the very last of them, verse 2 says, praise Him for His mighty deeds and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Both what He has done and for who He is. And this is something we need to cultivate in our life, is to continually and consistently express our gratitude to God for who He is. And I would encourage you to continue to, or in your time with God, to contemplate the character of God that is revealed throughout Scripture. His holiness, His righteousness, His immutability, in other words, His unchangeableness. The fact that God is not dependent upon us or anything in creation. He is free. We can contemplate His grace, His mercy, His love, His kindness, His faithfulness, all these different qualities, and to say, thank You, Lord, that that's who You are. You're not a God who is angry all the time and who is looking for us to mess up and so You can get us, but no, You extend Your grace and Your mercy because of Jesus Christ, because You are a God who is righteous and holy and have a standard, and yet, because of Your grace, You extend love and kindness to us. And so we can give thanks to God for who He is and for what He's done, just as Paul does here. He's qualified us to share in the inheritance of light. He's delivered us from what we would have gotten had we just been left to ourselves, separation from God. And so we want to extend our gratitude to God for who He is and what He's done. In fact, when I thought about this, I thought, you know, when we don't take time to acknowledge God for who He is and what He's done, then by default, we're acknowledging that it doesn't matter or that He doesn't matter. When we don't take time to acknowledge God for who He is and what He's done, then by default, we will acknowledge that He doesn't matter. And what's the difference between a person who says and claims they believe in God and that God matters, who doesn't show any gratitude, doesn't reflect on God at all or how God has impacted their lives? What's the difference between that person and an agnostic or an atheist, practically speaking? Both live our lives as if we're the only thing that matters. And so gratitude is critically important. And to express that consistently does a work in our hearts. Not only should we express gratitude to God, but also to other people. We should let people know that we are grateful to them or for them for the way that they are, the relationship that we have with them, for the way in which maybe something they've done or said has impacted our lives in a positive way. We should be people who are appreciative, who demonstrate appreciation to God and to others. Secondly, under that response of appreciation, we see in Luke chapter 17, if you'll turn to Luke 17, this is an incident that happened in Jesus, when Jesus walked the earth. Probably a story we're somewhat familiar with. But we see that our expression of gratitude sets us apart. Right? In this story in Luke 17, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem and he stops by in a little village on the way. And there were 10 lepers who were standing outside the city. And when they see Jesus coming, they recognize that he is this miracle worker people have been talking about. Maybe they heard him before or whatever, and they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he told them to go show themselves to the priests. And so they did what Jesus told them to do. And as they were going, the scripture says, they were healed. As they were going, they were healed. And then one, only one of the 10 that were healed, turned around and came back to express his gratitude to Jesus and to give glory to God. Only one. And Jesus said, were there not 9 others who were healed? But only one came back, and he was a foreigner, a Samaritan, wasn't even part of the nation of Israel. And then Jesus said to him, "Rise, go your way, for your faith has made you well." And the words that are used there means your faith has saved you. And what we see here is that our expression of gratitude sets us apart. There is only 10%, right? 1 out of 10, 10% of those who were healed came back to express that gratitude. That's probably a high percentage given in the world in which we live of people who actually give thanks and express that gratitude. It sets us apart. We are different. And we are called to be set apart. In fact, the word holy, this giving thanks is part of being holy. God says, "Be holy for I am holy." And being holy means to be set apart. That's what the word means. And we are set apart when we express gratitude. We see that all were healed, but not all were made well. All were healed physically, but not all were made well spiritually. Only the one who came back. And so it does. Gratitude sets us apart. There's another passage in Luke 7 where we see Jesus was invited by the Pharisee to come and to eat in his home for dinner. In Luke 7. And as he came, there was a woman who the scripture just says was a sinner. Most likely a prostitute of some kind, or a woman who was known in the community as being immoral in some way. And she came up to Jesus while he was there at the Pharisee's house, and she was behind him, and she fell at his feet, and she began to weep, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and to wipe them with her hair, and to kiss his feet, and anoint his feet with perfume. And of course, you got this dialogue where these Pharisees are saying, "Well, if this guy really was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is," and so on and so forth. And then Jesus says, "Listen, let me just tell you something." He said, "This woman has been forgiven much; therefore, she has shown gratitude." And again, he says, "Your faith has saved you." We have this woman, and we don't know who she is. Some speculate that maybe it was Mary Magdalene who had been delivered from demons from Jesus. What we probably can speculate is this woman had a previous encounter with Jesus because she wanted to express her gratitude to him in some way. And even in this kind of awkward situation, she could not hold back her expression of gratitude. She had to show thanks in some way. Our expression of gratitude sets us apart, makes us different. It stands out. And we are called, again, to stand out in that we are called to be set apart unto God and for His purposes. Gratitude is part of that. And so how do we develop a heart of gratitude? By responses of appreciation, by letting our appreciation be known. Well, and there's a second area or aspect of this, and that is an attitude of gratitude, right? We hear that all the time. It's kind of, because it rhymes, we like to throw that out there. But what is this? An attitude of gratitude. Look at Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians 4, we see, again, the Apostle Paul says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Our attitude can impact our prayers, how we pray. It impacts the perspective from which we pray. He says to keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. There is an element of spiritual warfare that comes as we think about that. We're keeping alert. There's an element. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and told his disciples to stay awake, right? Watch and stay awake with me. And he went to pray. There was some spiritual warfare going on there. And there is an element here where I think Paul is saying, listen, in prayer, be alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, gratitude impacts our prayers. Here's what F.F. Bruce says in his commentary on this verse. He says, prayer and thanksgiving can never be dissociated from each other in the Christian life. The remembrance of former mercies not only produces spontaneous praise and worship, but it is also a powerful incentive to renewed believing prayer. Gratitude impacts our praying. Philippians 4, verse 6. Again, a familiar passage to us where we see that thanksgiving in prayer is an antidote to anxiety. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It is an antidote to anxiety. In fact, Dick Burr, in his book, Developing Your Secret Closet of Prayer, says gratitude is a preemptive strike against bitterness and disappointment. When we give thanks in prayer, we make our requests known to God, and some of the requests we make known to God are for help, for God to show up in a difficult situation where we might be prone to be anxious or despair. And so we express our gratitude to God in the midst of our prayer. It gives us perspective. It's a preemptive strike against bitterness and disappointment. Our gratitude can impact our praying, our prayers. Secondly, our gratitude can impact our lives and the direction of our lives. Look at Romans chapter 1. Again, these are familiar passages to us. But it's important that we put all this together if we're going to develop a heart of gratitude. Verse 18, after he gives that introductory remarks, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And he talks about the internal and external witness of natural revelation, where both in creation we can see the evidence that there is a God, and the internal witness of the conscience God has put inside of all of us. And based upon these things, every person is without excuse. There's not enough there for us to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us, but there's enough there to cause us to say, there is a God I must know. There is a God responsible for this. There's something more than what I'm understanding. And so he says they are without excuse. Then in verse 21, he says, even though they knew God, that is, they knew about God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Again, there's this gratitude piece. What happens when we do not honor God or give thanks to God for how he has revealed himself? He goes on to say, they became futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. This is what happened to them. And this is what happens to all of us when we do not develop an attitude of gratitude. When we do not respond to God and how He's revealed Himself to us by honoring Him and giving Him thanks. It impacts our lives. We go down a road of foolishness. Our hearts become darkened. And we begin to exchange the glory of God for the glory of this stuff. And then he goes on to say, and God gave them over. Three times, God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over. To what? To degrading passions, to their own lustful thinking, to the flesh. And again, and we don't have to look far to see, this is the reality of the culture we live in. All right? We have as a culture said we don't want God. We don't want to even acknowledge God. We've removed Him from all areas of society, practically speaking. And so God says, okay, you don't want me? Here, I'll give you what you want. You want yourself. Here's what happens when we do that. And listen, folks, brothers and sisters, this is going to happen to our hearts, even as followers of Christ, if we're not continuing to develop a grateful heart, an attitude of gratitude. And the interesting thing is that when we are developing it, when we are expressing gratitude, it can have an impact positively on other people around us. When this is something we choose to do and cultivate in our own heart and life, it can have an impact on other people. I'll give you an example. Barbara Johnson, who is a Christian author and speaker, wrote this. She said that the day had started out well for a certain woman. I'm sorry, the day had not started out well for a certain woman. She had overslept and was late for work. Then some things happened at the office that only contributed to her harried condition. By the time she reached the bus stop for her trip home, her stomach was tied in an intricate knot. As usual, the bus was late and packed, and she had to stand up the whole way. The bus started, stopped, turned left, turned right, pushing and pulling her in all directions. The day wasn't improving even as it came to an end. Then she heard a man's voice up front proclaim, "Beautiful day, isn't it?" Because of the crowd, she couldn't see the man, but he continued to comment on everything the bus passed that added to his joy. A church here, an ice cream store there, a baseball diamond here, a library there. The atmosphere in the bus grew immediately more carefree, as did the woman's heart. The man's enthusiasm was so winsome, the woman found herself smiling. When the bus reached the woman's stop, she worked her way through the crowd to the door. And as she did so, she glanced at the quote-unquote tour guide, a plump man wearing dark glasses and carrying a white cane. He was blind. As she stepped off the bus, she realized the day's tensions had disappeared. God had sent a blind man to help her see. See, when we choose to develop a heart of gratitude and express that gratitude, God can use that to impact other people's hearts and give them perspective and help them to begin to see what their darkened heart has caused them to be blind to. An attitude of gratitude can impact our prayers and impact our lives. And then lastly, and this is probably the hardest for us to develop, and that is gratitude as an act of faith. Gratitude as an act of faith. In your outline, you have the first point with the Ephesians 5:20, and the second is the 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'm going to flip-flop those and do them in the opposite order. And so we see, first of all, that we need to learn to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where we see in this passage where the Apostle Paul is saying, rejoice always, right? Pray without ceasing. And then he says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, in all things, give thanks. And then he says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to learn to give thanks in all things, for it is God's will for us to do so. So many times, you know, if you're like me, you wish you knew what God's specific will was in a given situation. God, if you just show me what your will is, I mean, I will follow that. Well, there are certain places in Scripture where he does tell us exactly what his will is for us. And his will is for us to be grateful in everything. That's God's will for us. If we're not willing to follow and be obedient to God's will and the things he's clearly revealed, why would God make clear to us other aspects of his will for our lives? And so this is God's will for us, who are followers of Christ, that we give thanks in all things. We don't have to like everything that happens. We don't even have to understand everything that happens. But in submission to Christ and to his will, we obey. And we express thanks by faith, because we don't know how this thing is going to turn out. We trust him. And then the Ephesians 5:20 passage maybe takes it a little bit, another step further and more difficult. And when he says we need to learn to give thanks for all things. Verse 20 of Ephesians 5. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. The key there is in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. What does it mean in the name of Jesus? It means that when we pray in Jesus' name, we are acknowledging that it's only through him that we have access to the Father. We are submitting to him and his will for our lives. So as we pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray and when we give thanks in the name of Jesus, we give thanks for all things in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Again, not everything that happens in a fallen world is good. But we are in the hands of one who is. And so when he permits something, when he allows things to happen in our lives that may not in and of themselves be good, we can trust that he is good and he is working a good plan. Right? Romans 8:28. Right? He causes all things to work together for good for them that love him and are called according to his purpose. When we are in Christ, we know that God is working, is causing things to work together for good. We may not understand it right now. We may not even understand it this side of eternity. But by faith, we can give thanks because we trust the one who does understand. We trust the one who is at work and who wants to work through these things. I mean, I had somebody ask me recently, does God have a purpose for the sin in our life? I believe the answer is yes. It's not that God would want you and I to sin. It's not that God would cause us to sin. We know in the Scripture he doesn't. But God has a purpose for it in our lives here on earth. And that is that when we find ourselves in that place, having given in to sin, we are brought again to the place where we realize we are dependent upon him to live our lives to his glory. We can't just do this on our own. We need him. We are dependent upon him. And when we step out from being dependent on him, in our independence, we find ourselves living according to the flesh, and we find ourselves walking a path we don't want to walk. Certainly God doesn't want us to walk. But it isn't that God would intend for us to sin or do anything that would harm ourselves. You see, it's one thing to not complain, which is good. It's another thing to give thanks. It's not natural, it's supernatural. It is an act of obedience by faith. We had an extra opportunity to be thankful this weekend for us as a family. We were out visiting with my mom in Western PA. And Tim, our youngest, was coming back early because he had to be back for basketball tryouts on Friday afternoon. So he left early Friday morning to drive back by himself. And as he was traveling on the turnpike, he lost control of his vehicle and went head first into one of those concrete medians between the two lanes back and forth at full speed. He completely destroyed our Honda Accord. Totally. And yet he walked away with a few scratches and a sore neck. And so we're so grateful to God for God's protection in the midst of what was an incident that we would never ask for. Things could have turned out so differently, and had they turned out differently, I can tell you this sermon would be a whole lot more difficult to preach. But it would not make it any less true. The truth is, we need to give thanks in and for all things because we trust God that He's in charge. We trust Him in the midst of what goes on in life, even when we don't understand, even when we wouldn't choose it for ourselves. We trust God's perspective. God has a reason for allowing that to happen. I don't understand it yet. Maybe one day we will. Maybe we won't know until we get the glory. What God was doing and is going to do in all of this. But we trust Him and we give thanks to Him for what He allowed, for what He did in the midst of it, for His protection and provision. What we need to remember is that God is less interested in our happiness and more interested in our holiness. He's less interested in our comfort and more interested in our character. We're more interested in our happiness and in our comfort. Man, we would choose our own happiness, choose our own comfort each time. I would always choose for my children to be safe from danger, from accidents. Always. But the loving God of the universe allows certain things to happen. Because He has a bigger purpose. We have to trust His perspective. We have to believe that He is good and that He is doing these things for a good purpose. He causes all things to work together for good, for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And we trust Him with that. Well, let me conclude with this story. A guy was shipwrecked, and he was the only survivor. Of course, he washed up on an uninhabited island. And he began to cry out to God, you know, multiple times every day, God, send somebody to rescue me. Please, God. And days and weeks and months went by, and he finally realized he's going to have to make it on his own here for a while at least. And so he ended up building a little hut with the resources he could find on the island. And one day, when he had gone out to gather some food, he came back and saw his hut completely engulfed in flames. Somehow the coals that he had there to cook his meal started a fire, and his hut was completely inflamed. And he says, God, why? I mean, here it's bad enough I'm stuck on this island. No one to rescue me. But my hut, the place where I get out from the weather, why would you let this happen? Couldn't understand. Well, the next day, he sees a ship on its way toward him, and the ship comes up and rescues him. And he says, how did you know I was here? And they said, we saw your smoke signal. See, maybe the difficulty that you and I are experiencing right now is a smoke signal, right? That will lead to a great blessing of some kind. We don't know. It may not be tomorrow. It may be days, months, years down the road. And we might begin to see how what happened now, what was not pleasant, what was not what we would have asked for, but God had a plan, a purpose for it. And so right now, by faith, we trust Him and we express our thanks because we believe He is good, even if what we're going through doesn't feel good right now. We need to develop a heart of gratitude. And it's going to take some work on our part. We've got to develop these responses of appreciation, this attitude of gratitude, and this act of faith, trusting God, giving thanks, even when we don't see anything happening that for which to give thanks. Because it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It's a preemptive strike against bitterness and disappointment in our own heart and life. Let's pray.